Hey everybody, Brother Gary, Hands Across Borders Devotional, and we're in John chapter 12 as we're continuing to work our way through, and we're starting in verse number 12, so I'll begin to read there today. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people therefore that was with him, when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. And so, chapter 12, remember, Jesus had come to Lazarus's house. Mary and Martha are there. Mary anoints him with that very expensive spikenard. Judas is upset about it, right? People are coming. It's the time of the Passover. And so people are coming. And because of that, the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the chief priests, and all of these, they're all trying to kill Lazarus and Jesus, right? Because Lazarus keeps pointing people to Jesus. There's a great lesson for you and I. And now it's the next day. That's what verse 12 starts. They were come to the feast. So they're all in Jerusalem. They're coming for the Passover. Verse 13, or latter part of verse 12, they hear, hey, Jesus is coming to Jerusalem. And they'd already heard what Jesus did raising people from the dead. And so imagine what they thought. They're under all of this political oppression, right? And Rome is just got a stranglehold on them. And they want freedom. And now they heard Jesus is coming. And if he can raise somebody from the dead, he could set them free. And as a result, when Jesus comes, it says in verse 13, they took branches of palm trees. Now, why would they do that? Well, the palm branches were a symbol of Jewish nationalism since the time of the Maccabees. And so the crowd was looking to Jesus as a political and national savior, but not so much as a spiritual savior. They greeted Jesus as a king, though ignorant of the nature of his kingship. Remember, one of the leaders said, will not your disciples fight for this kingdom? He said, well, if this was my kingdom, they would, but this isn't my kingdom. And so these folks, they were illiterate in the scriptures. They knew this. They were quoting the messianic Psalm 118:25-26, shouting Hosanna, and Hosanna literally means save now. So they're saying, Jesus, save now. Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And when Jesus found that donkey and sat thereon, it says, as it is written. Well, that was written back in the Old Testament in Zechariah 9:9. Listen what it says. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. So this is a spiritual salvation. They want a physical salvation. And so Jesus comes, and look at verse number 16. It says, these things understood not his disciples at the first. They didn't really understand. They thought, yeah, he's probably going to come as a conquering king. They didn't realize he was coming in peace, riding that donkey. A warrior would ride a horse, and they would come and fight the war. But he's riding a donkey, an animal of peace and lowly. And so as he comes down, it's like this big patriotic parade is happening. And people are getting all worked up. Why? Because they misapplied the scriptures. You see, if we're not careful, we'll think we know something and we really don't. That's why it is so imperative for you and I to keep things in context. Remember, this is not written with a Western mindset. This is written with the mindset of the day. And yes, we can look at it, we can apply things to our lives, but we've got to be careful that we just don't get worked up over nationalism like the folks in Israel, rather than getting worked up over the Messiah who could save the world. Now, through all of this confusion, we come now to verse number 19, the Pharisees. And they're saying something that is prophetic here. They said this, "Therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him." What they were saying, look, we're trying to kill this guy. We're trying everything. Nothing's working. Nothing is working. When you go to fight against the Lord, I mean, he's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's everywhere at one time. How are you going to fight against that? You can't. And in fact, since the days that Jesus hung on the cross, was buried, rose again that third day, he bore our sins, and he died to pay the penalty we couldn't pay, and he rose again the third day to prove he was the Messiah. How are you going to fight against that? Oh, I think you got to join our church. Well, you're not too bright, are you? I think you got to do this, that. No. The Bible says to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's it. You don't have to do rituals and traditions and all of these nonsense that people say. How are you going to fight against that? And since that time, he has turned the world upside down, hasn't he? Behold, the world has gone after him. Many, 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 many people throughout history of time. Here are my goats in the back. Through history of time have gone to Christ. Are you seeking the Lord today? Just look to him to save you. Ask him to save you.